James chapter number 5. Sa bagong tipan tayo, James chapter number 5. At malapit na tayong matapos sa liham ni James. We're finishing the letter of James and we'll move on to something else a couple Sundays from now. And Brother Sean, when are you heading back?
Friday.
Already?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, magpaalam kayo kay Sean. Don't let him leave without us saying goodbye and thank the Lord for him. And would you pray? Why don't we pray for Sean for safety and protection? All right? So let's bow and pray and ask the Lord to help them and bless. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that Sean's with us, a friend from afar, Lord, and he's here. We just thank you, God, for his testimony and Jenica and their testimony. Just pray, Father, that as he make his way back home, that you would give him safety, Lord, and make his pathway clear to get back and his swift recovery, Lord, from all the jet lag and all the things about that. Just pray that you be with him constantly, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. James chapter 5 and verse number 13 hanggang verse 18. At merong mga dalawang verses na nanatili, pero dahil napaka-importante ng mga verses na yon at hindi siya talaga katugma dito sa topic na ito, pag-usapan natin yon next Sunday and we'll finish the book of James. So James chapter 5, verse number 13, ang sabi ng Bible, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it may not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Every Christian experiences sanctification. Lahat ng mga Kristiyano ay nakakaranas ng tinatawag nating sanctification. Now, I don't want to separate these two things because they really are together, but if we take a microscope and zero in on sanctification, that's one aspect of Christian life, but the Christian life begins with salvation. And then after you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God works inside of you. God the Father works on you every day, trying to chisel you and get you to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That process is called sanctification. It is not salvation, it is sanctification. Now, yung iba sa atin, kailangan ninyo salvation. Ano yun? Yan yung inaamin mo na ikaw ay makasalanan. At tinatalikuran mo yung mga kasalanan, yung maling paniniwala, yung maling tradisyon, yung maling pag-asa o pag-iisip na mali, maling doktrina, mga kasalanan, kung ikaw ay magnanakaw, tinatanggihan mo yung pagnanakaw, nagsisisi ka, hindi mo nagagawin yun. Kung dati sumasamba ka sa rebulto, ngayon nagsisisi ka na, hindi ka na babalik sa pagsasamba sa rebulto, and so on and so forth. Tapos, bumabaling ka at tinitingnan mo si Jesus Kristo at naalam mo na siya ay namatay, nilibing, muling nabuhay para sa iyo. At ikaw ay umaasa sa Kanya para sa iyong kaligtasan. Yon ang salvation. Libre yon. That's free. Doesn't cost us anything. Now, it costs Jesus everything. But then cost us anything. But we're saved by grace through faith. And so, it's free. But wait a minute. Once a person is born again and saved, The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you if you're post-New Testament. Ha? Pagkatapos ng New Testament, remember, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in every New Testament born-again believer. Whether you're a church member or not a church member, that makes no difference. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. And so God is with you through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. At araw-araw, yung Holy Spirit of God ang iyong gabay. Araw-araw, yung relasyon mo sa Diyos ay dapat maging hinahangad mo sa buhay mo. At hindi ka lalago sa pananampalataya na walang sanctification. You'll never grow in your Christian life without sanctification. It's a necessary process. And it is the process that God does for every born-again believer. Every believer experiences sanctification. Now, I say that because in James chapter 5, the passages we read, James introduces us to this process of sanctification through prayer. Through prayer. So, without prayer in your life as a Christian, you will never grow in the Lord. So, James, Pastor James, is writing to the New Testament church at Jerusalem, the Jerusalem Baptist Church, and consequently all the other churches that were planted because of the diaspora, the splitting up of this church, into all the places all around the world, the Roman world and beyond. And churches have been planted because of that. And by the way, do you know what the minimum requirement for church, a church organism is? Two or three that are gathered together in my name. Okay, so that's significant. All right. And so don't judge a church by the attendance. Don't judge the church by the building. Don't judge the church by the external. You have to be biblical. What is a church according to the Bible? And then you judge that by the Bible. And same thing in the Christian life. Don't judge the Christian by what you see. Judge them by according to the Word of God and see if they're following the Word of God. So, let me say, James is writing to church members. So you can't grow in the Christian life if you're not involved in a New Testament biblical church. God intends for every born-again believer to be assimilated into the membership of a New Testament biblical Baptist church. That's Scripture. That's New Testament. They that gladly received this word were baptized and added to the church, you see. We can't skip those words. Those are significant words. So, yung iba sa inyo, hindi pa tumanggap sa Panginoong Jesucristo bilang tagapagligtas, hindi pa nagsisi, hindi pa sumampalataya, hindi pa nauunawaan kung anong ibig sabihin nun. Ibig sabihin, wala ka pang salvation. You're not saved. You're not born again. Now, we love you. We love every one of you. But our love for you cannot save you. You must be born again. You must repent and believe and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, Brother RJ said he prayed and received the Lord as his Savior. When? April of 2007. I came to faith and trusted in the Lord as my Savior noong 1993. Okay? 1993. Yung iba sa inyo, hindi pa buhay. That's fine. So, I don't remember exactly everything, but I do remember na at one point, hindi ako saved, pero nung tinanggap ko si Jesus Christ, alam ko nagbago yung buhay ko. Nagbago yung lahat nung tinanggap ko si Jesus Christ. At hindi ako nagtataka, ako kaya ay saved o hindi? Walang ganun sa buhay. Either nasa loob ka ng building o nasa labas. Walang sa gitna. Either kasal ako kay Marcia o hindi. Either single ako or married. Walang nasa gitna. Jenica. Kawawa naman. Pero walang nasa gitna. You are either single or married. And in the Christian life, you either are in Christ or you're not in Christ. See? Yan ang salvation. That's salvation. But once you're born again and saved, God wants you to start growing. Gusto ng Diyos, lumago ka sa pananampalataya. Paano yun, Brother Bill? Well, hindi ka lalago kung hindi ka part ng biblical church. You won't grow if you're not part of a biblical church. Do you know na how many books are in the New Testament? 27 books in the New Testament. Alam mo ba, did you know that all the books in the New Testament were written to either the church or the Christian who is a member of a church? All 27 books in the New Testament written to the church or the church member. Why? Because church is the plan of God for those who are saved and born again. Can the church save you? No. Hindi ka saved dahil sumali ka sa church. You understand that? Doon nagkakamali ang reliyon ng tao. Kailangan umanib ka sa amin para maligtas ka. That is false gospel. That is false salvation. Kung tutusin, kahit na sumali ka sa amin, kung hindi mo talaga kilala si Jesus Christ at hindi ka nagsisip sumampalataya sa Kanya, at hindi malinaw yung testimony ng salvation sa iyo, malabo pa. Walang kwenta ang sumali ka sa church. That will not help you get saved. Malinaw ba yon? Do you understand that? Is that clear? Okay. All right. Now, kung ikaw ay born again and saved, kailangan part ka ng church, sumali ka ng church para makarinig ka ng preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Kasi sa church lang, sa church ka lang makakarinig ng mga messages na katulad nito, na katulad ng this morning kay Brother RJ patungkol kay Jesus Christ. Yung mga eskwela natin, yung mga trabaho natin, hindi ho sila interested kay Jesus Christ. Yung bank, LTO, yung City Hall, yung kampo ng mga NPA, ah hindi, yung mga kampo ng mga militar natin, hindi ho sila interested kay Jesus Christ. There's only one place on earth that is interested in the authority of Jesus Christ, and that is the local New Testament biblical church. And so God wants the believer to be a born-again believer, saved, and then baptized, and then added to the church. That's the will of God. So now, here the New Testament believer is sitting in church, and Pastor James is reading this message to them. And he says to them, pray. Pray. Prayer is necessary part of sanctification. Prayer is a necessary part of sanctification. Every life can change and continue to change through prayer. So let me ask you a question. Do you want to improve in your Christian life? Gusto mo ba mag-improve sa Christian life? Eh di kailangan gamitin mo yung prayer, yung pananalangin. You have to be involved in prayer. Pag nagpe-pray ka, you are showing that you are depending upon the Lord. Every time you pray, you are depending upon the Lord. And when you forget to pray or neglect to pray, what you're saying is, I can deal with my problem in my own strength and in my own power. At dyan ang failure ng mga Kristiyano. Kapag nagdedepend tayo sa lakas natin, sa sarili natin, at hindi tayo nagpe-pray. By the way, pag hindi ka nagpe-pray, pinapatunayan mo na hindi mo kailangan ng Diyos. That is how significant prayer is. At alam ng Diyos, kailangan natin ng prayer sa buhay natin. Kaya itong James chapter 5, magmula 13 hanggang 18, sinakop na ng Diyos ang lahat. Tingnan mo yung verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Anong ibig sabihin ng afflicted? Affliction. To undergo hardship. To undergo or to suffer trouble. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever suffered trouble? Have you ever gone through anything hard? Have you ever been afflicted according to the scriptures? Well, guess what the answer is to affliction? Prayer. Prayer. Wala sa atin ang gusto ng affliction, yung trouble. Wala sa atin yung nagbo-volunteer. Ako gusto kong magdusa. Wala. Pero pag dumadaan ka sa kagipitan, pag dumadaan ka sa kahirapan, ang prayer ang gagamitin ng Diyos sa buhay mo para mabigyan ka ng ginhawa, kapayapaan, gabay, tulong. Now, I challenge you. The next time you experience affliction, the Bible says, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. That is a command. That is an imperative. That is not a suggestion. This is not optional. In the Christian life, if you are experiencing affliction, God is calling you to prayer. God is calling you to pray. So, pag dumaan yung pagsubok sa buhay mo, kung ayaw mong mawala yung testimony mo para sa Panginoon, matuto ka na mag-pray. O, halimbawa, nakarinig ka ng bad news. Pumasok yung bad news. Dapat madali, Lord, tulungan mo ako kasi pag hindi mo ako tinulungan, papatayin ko na itong taong ito. Or something like that. Something like that. O, Lord, malapit nang mawala ang testimony ko, magmumura na ako, Lord. Lord, tulungan mo ako, Lord. Patawarin mo ako, Lord. Tulungan mo ako. Sa palagay mo, tutulungan ka ba ng Diyos? Ha? Huh? Yes. Ang problema, nakakalimutan mo lang mag-pray pagdating ng affliction. Kaya yung laman ang nananaig sa espiritu. So when afflictions come your way, remember the command. Let him or her pray. That's the command of God. So inaasahan ng Diyos. By the way, saan nang gagaling yung mga pagsubok natin? Malamang, dumaan yan muna sa kamay ng Diyos bago dumako sa atin. So binibigyan tayo ng pagsubok ng Diyos. God is testing us to see if we will react in prayer or the flesh. Ang problema, nasanay na tayo mag-react in the flesh. Kaya pag dumating yung paghihirap, yung karnal na Kristiyano hindi marunong mag-pray, pero marunong magmura, marunong mag-alipusta, marunong gumawa ng mali, marunong na mabuhay sa kamalian at gumawa ng mali at isauli ang mali. It's very easy to react in the flesh, but we have to teach ourselves according to the Word of God. If you're afflicted, pray. Nagda-drive ka. Yung tire mo na flat. Anong dapat gawin muna? Pray. Lord, tulungan mo ako dito. Kasi kung hindi mo ako tulungan dito, nako, tatapon ko na ito. Pray. Ask God for help. Sino ang prinsipe ng kapayapaan? Sino ang prinsipe ng kapayapaan? Kailangan mo ng kapayapaan sa buhay. Saan mo makukuha yon? Kay Jesus. So mag-pray ka, Lord, kailangan ko ng kapayapaan sa sitwasyon ko. Lord, gabay. Kailangan ko ng gabay sa sitwasyon ko. Lord, kailangan ko ng sigla sa sitwasyon ko. Kung ano man yung affliction mo, idaan mo yung lunas sa prayer. Prayer. Verse 13, is any merry? Alam mo yung merry dito, yung masaya. Yung merry, joyful. Yung pag sinabi natin, Merry Christmas. Huh? Maligayang bati. Huh? Merry. That's joyfulness. So kung may pagsubok ka, dumadaan ka sa matinding pagsubok, mag-pray. Pero kung ikaw nakakaranas ka ng kasiyahan, anong sabi ng Bible? Let him sing songs. Di umawit ka ng mga scriptural songs. sa Panginoon. When and that is a form of prayer. Singing psalms is a form of prayer expressing thankfulness and adoration and worship to God. You're communicating to the Heavenly Father in joyful song because you're merry. You know, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Are you rejoicing today? I hope you are. What about tomorrow? Will you be rejoicing tomorrow? It's your choice. It's your choice to rejoice. And if you are rejoicing, sing unto the Lord. Sing psalms unto the Lord. Kaya napakaganda. When you're in church, you're learning biblical songs. Scriptural songs. Hindi yung songs of the world. CCM. Contemporary Christian music. Rock music. Rap. Ano yung rap? Ano yung isda na nagra-rap? Sap-sap? Di nyo alam yun, ha? Rap, country, rock, all kinds of the music of the world, that is not found in a biblical church. Kaya sinasabi ko sa inyo, kayo, lalo na pag may cellphone kayo, dapat rene-record ninyo yung pag-aawit natin sa church. Tapos kung gusto nyo talaga yung music, sabihin nyo sa akin, bigyan ko kayo ng kopya, tapos i-review nyo sa bahay nyo. Alam nyo, pag nagtagal kayo sa church, matututunan mo yung songbook. Yung mga awit na yan, magiging awit mo rin yan. But God commands us to sing when we're joyful. What about when we're sick? Does it change? Does God's command and expectation change when we're sick? Look at verse 14. Is any sick among you? Well, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And so the answer to sickness among us is prayer. Now, in verse 14, I believe, I personally believe, and I think the commentaries that have written this are wrong. But verse 14, I believe James is teaching about a member in the church that is suffering church discipline. Na-disiplina siya sa church. Natiwalag siya sa church. And God is judging him. God is judging him with sickness. They're weak and some of them sleep, some are weak, according to Corinthians. Because God is judging them. They're out of sorts with the fellowship. They've been church disciplined. And now they're getting right with God. They're in the path of restoration. So what do? Because they're under sickness and the judgment of God. Let them call for the elders of the church, the pastors, or the spiritual leaders of the church. And what are they going to do? It says, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Yung anointing with oil, now maraming mga churches, hindi nila alam yung Greek word ng anoint dito. Nakita na ba kayo ng church na nag-anoint? May lagnat yung tao. Sabi, Pastor, langisan mo ako. Tapos ipag-pray mo ako para mahilot ako. Kasi, may problema doon. Kasi, nasa isip ng tao, ito ay religious ceremony ng anointing of the sick. Hindi ho yan ang word anoint. So paano mo alam kung anong ibig sabihin ng anointing dyan sa James chapter 5 verse 14? Agamitin mo yung Strong's. Doon mo, pag nabuksan mo yung word anointing, meron palang dalawang kahulugan yung anointing. Merong anointing na ceremonial. Halimbawa, pag in-anoint mo yung hari sa Old Testament, o yung pare, o yung propeta, dinalagyan sila ng langis, at sila ay tinuturing na hari, o tinuturing na pare, o tinuturing na propeta. Yung anointing doon, ang pangalan doon, ang tawag doon, Chrisma. Chrisma. Doon nang galing yung charismatic. Naniniwala sila sa anointing ng Holy Spirit of God. Charisma. Yun ang Greek word doon, religious ceremony yun. Eh, ang problema, yung word anointing sa verse 14, hindi charisma. Ah, ano yung word doon sa verse 14? Eto, aliepo. Aliepo. Anong ibig sabihin ng aliepo? Yung aliepo, ipahid. Walang ceremony. Hindi ceremonial. Medical yun. Medical. Oo, medical. Alam nyo ba kung saan yung gamot ng Bible, back in the Bible days, do you know what the medicine was of the Bible? Hindi ho pills. Ah, walang pills noon. Alam mo ba kung saan nang galing yung pills? Nang galing sa langis. Oil was the medicine of the Bible. And if you were sick, you need someone to aliepo or put oil on you. Not religious ceremony. When you have a headache and you digest paracetamol or Tylenol, is that religious? Or is that medical? Medical yun. Walang religious yun. So sa verse 14, yung word anointing is not ceremonial. Strong's, basahin mo doon. I-check mo. G218 ang word na yan. Aliepo. Yung ceremony, G5545. Ang malayo. Chrisma. Iba naman yon. It's a different word. So, we got to review this morning. And now we review again. These words mean things, okay? They mean something. And so, don't come to me asking me to anoint you with oil. Unless kailangan mo talaga ng gamot na pwede namang bigay sa inyo ng oil. That is medical. We can help. We have help for that. But not ceremonial. Not religious. Anointing with oil will not draw you to the Lord. And by the way, so verse 14, oil is not emphasized. Contextually, prayer is emphasized. And so what's more important, oil or prayer? Prayer. So always depend upon the Lord. So in verse 14, the church discipline member calls for the elders of the church. He repents. He's ready to be restored. He's under the judgment of God. And verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith, which is the prayer of the elders, shall save the sick, deliver the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, which is a given, of course, since he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. May restoration yung kapatiran na natiwalag. Kapag siya ay nagpakumbaba at nag-confess at humingi ng tulong, handa naman ang church na tumulong. Amen? Alright, so, whether you're afflicted, whether you're merry, whether you're sick, God is pointing us to pray, to pray, to pray, to pray. Let me tell you something. If the devil can get you to stop doing one thing, if he can, he'll let you read your Bible, he'll let you go to church, he'll let you tell people about the Lord, he'll let you do all kinds of things. You know the only one thing the devil wants to stop you from doing? Pray. The devil wants to stop you from praying. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another, so merong faults. And this is why I believe it's a church discipline situation that needed restoration, is because there's faults one to another that need to be confessed. And pray for one another that ye may be healed. And so God blesses those that are seeking help. Now, James uses another Old Testament example. The example of Elijah. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Who's the righteous man? The Elijah is an example of a righteous man. And his fervent, effectual prayer availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. You see that? Elijah is subject to like passions as we are, James and the church members. And James looks to the Old Testament in 1 Kings chapter 17. And he looks at Elijah and he sees, wow, Elijah is just like you and me. James is just like you and me. You see, there are no super Christians. There are no super Christians in the Bible. There are only continuing disciples. And you can be a continuing disciple. You can have effectual, fervent prayer like Elijah had prayer. Did you know that Elijah? Tinan mo si Elijah. You remember the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings 17? He went to King Ahab and he said, King Ahab, you're under the judgment of God. The nation's under the judgment of God. I'm going to pray and there's going to be a drought. There will be no rain. Let's go over to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17, page 325 sa sample Bible. Page 325. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1. Just looking at Elijah real quick. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Page 325. 1 Kings 17, 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So sabi ni Elijah, hoy, kinasayan ako ng Diyos para isumpa ka. Ahab, magpe-pray ako, titigilan ng Diyos yung pag-ulan ng ilang mga taon. At hindi uulan hanggat hindi uli ako mag-pray. Ganyan katindi ang fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man. Na pwede palang i-stop ni Elijah yung pag-ulan. Biro mo, gaano katagal ang tag... Ano yung drought? Ha? O yun, tama. Meron tayong lexicographer ngayon. Bless na bless tayo. Tagtuyo, yes. Ilang buwan sa palagay nyo ang matindi na tagtuyo? How many months of drought is intense? Ha? 6 months. Siguro pagdating ng 6 months, sobra na, no? Alam nyo, hindi, alimbawa, walang tubig sa Tagig for 6 months. Walang tubig. Sa palagay nyo, mananatili yung Tagig na okay? Hindi. Magsisimula ng umalis ang iba. Magsisimula na mag-riot yung iba. Magsisimula na ang breakdown ng lipunan. Alam niyo ba kung gaano katagal yung hindi niya pag, yung pag-pray ni Elijah? Tingnan mo yung 1 Kings 18, verse number 1. Tingnan mo naman, 1 Kings 18, verse number 1. And it came to pass after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. Third year. Saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So it took 3 years and 6 months before Elijah prayed again for rain. Back to James. Tingnan mo yung James. Chapter number 5, verse 18. And he prayed again. Verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it may not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. There you have the record. Divine record. Kung gaano katagal yung tagtuyo. Dahil sa prayer ni Elijah. 3 years and 6 months. Ano kaya ang mangyayari sa Tagig kung walang tubig dito for 3 years and 6 months? Patay. Verse 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So, tingnan mo ang power of prayer. Notice the power of prayer. It's effectual. Ibig sabihin ng effectual, energy yun. May energy. Active, mighty, efficient ang prayer ng righteous man. Now, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Did you know that Elijah experienced depression? After a spiritual victory. So, natatandaan ninyo? After this rain incident, Elijah challenged Ahab to a who's the true and living God battle on Mount Carmel. You remember the prophets of Baal cutting themselves, trying to get the devil to burn up the calf? And what does Elijah do? He just prays, and fire comes down and takes care of everything, dries up everything. What happened after that? Jezebel found out, and then Elijah, instead of being strong, he was a coward concerning Jezebel. He wasn't afraid for Ahab. He was afraid of Ahab's wife, Jezebel. So you see here, Elijah experienced depression after spiritual victory. So ang tanong, exempt kaya tayo doon? Are we exempt from that? No, we're not. We're the same way. I mean, Sunday, it's the Lord's Day. Thank God we have grace. We surrender our hearts to the Lord, and God fills us with the Holy Spirit of God, and we experience the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and we're loving life. What about Monday? It's possible to be defeated by sin and get into depression mode. So what's the secret? Prayer. Tandaan mo, ang secret ng pananatili ng sanctification sa buhay ng Kristiyano ay prayer. Prayer changes everything. And again, this is not the first time James talks about prayer. Tingnan mo ang James chapter 1 verse 5. Go over to James chapter 1 verse 5. James usually introduces a topic and then expounds on it later. Well, he's expounding on prayer here, but he started the topic of prayer in chapter 1, verse number 5. Look at chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is asking of God. Well, do you lack wisdom? Then ask wisdom from God. You see? Look at verse number 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of a sea driven with the wind and tossed. And that's not Christian growth when you're tossed, when you're one day you're strong for the Lord, the next day you're cold and indifferent. That is a yo-yo Christian. God doesn't want us to be yo-yos. He wants us to be revived. And strong and steady for the Lord. Learning every day the glory of depending upon the Lord every day. Depending upon the Lord in every turn of life. In every situation. Calling on the name of the Lord. Every single moment. Every single time. Look at, verse number, chapter 4. He talks about prayer again. James chapter 4, verse number 2. James chapter 4, verse 2. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have. And ye cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. Yet ye have not because ye ask not. That's prayer. Or the lack of prayer. Verse number 3. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. That ye may consume it upon your lust. So yung mga hinihingi natin. Hey, I'm so thankful that God to God that His answers are wiser than my requests. But sometimes I don't even know what I'm out to pray for as I ought. And Paul said the same thing. So we have to examine our prayer life. This message today is about you and me I need to examine my heart about my prayer life. You need to examine your heart about your prayer life. Don't worry about the prayer life of the person beside you, in front of you, or behind you. The challenge here is for you to examine your heart according to the light of the Word of God. Now let me ask you a question. Are you praying? Are you a praying Christian? And so, if you're a praying Christian, you can have power with God. You have power with God because of prayer in Jesus' name and in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The fervent prayer avails much. It means it's effective. It's powerful in obtaining what is desired or asked or petitioned of God. If it's strange for you to be in prayer, then you're not in the habit of prayer. You need to develop that habit of prayer. So ngayon, pag nakarinig kayo ng balita na ayaw ninyo, hindi nyo gusto, kailangan automatic na. Automatic. Pray. Begin praying. Huwag mabalisa. Huwag sumisigaw. Huwag yung nawawalan ka ng kontrol. Mag-pray. Mag-pray instead of reacting in the flesh. Is that good? Is that preaching or what? Let's bow, pray, and ask the Lord to help us then.